Welcome. This is a PricewaterhouseCoopers podcast. The Battle for Brains. Talent is the world's most sought-after commodity, and the war is fiercest in the technology industries, who face a looming talent shortage. Technology executives must take steps to deal with it. Today we have with us three human resource experts from PricewaterhouseCoopers to talk about some of the talent management challenges tech companies face and successful strategies for addressing these challenges. Joining us are Graham Wiley, a director in the human resource practice from the UK, focusing on technology. Welcome, Graham.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And Scott Pollack, a director from PricewaterhouseCoopers Saratoga Institute in San Jose, one of the industry's leading HR benchmarking and metrics specialists. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
And J.P. Barker, a director from the UK specializing in performance improvement. Welcome, J.P.
Hi, it's good to be here.
All right, gentlemen, let's get started. According to a recent PricewaterhouseCoopers survey, Successful Strategies for Talent Management, many technology executives know that human capital management must be a top priority, but they're indicating that they don't have much confidence in their firm's current capabilities in this area. So, tell us, what are some common mistakes you see companies making in terms of talent management, and what areas do you see most companies needing to improve? JP, why don't you get us started?
Okay. Look, I think there's a couple of areas that it strikes me that companies are really struggling with and provide the biggest challenge for them. One is a mistaken belief that talent management processes should sit with the HR function within the organization, whereas in reality, for this to be effective, it has to be owned by the business leaders themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a real challenge because actually it doesn't come naturally to many of our existing leaders to play that sort of role.
Graham, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think JP makes a good point. I think where I see problems is sort of a step on from that is really seeing those leaders linking the business vision through to the actual strategy of the business and how that feeds through into their talent management program and how they bring all those elements together. I tend to see companies focusing on the top two pieces and not really following through and linking up to how what that means for the talented people in an organization and how those people who are key to a business can effectively bring about change required to make the business vision a reality.
I think that's true, Graham. I think some recent experience I had with the company in the aerospace industry demonstrated the need for people to be thinking and planning, you know, five to 10 years out. And it really is a strategic exercise to understand exactly what talent needs you're going to have that far down the line and then reacting and responding to that accordingly today.
Yeah, if I can just add two other pieces that we see, one of which is that when companies talk about talent management and talent issues, it frequently boils down to just a talent acquisition issue. And, you know, in some ways, the talent management systems are propagating this as they tend to be outgrowths of applicant tracking systems. And we see that talent management is much more of a resource management issue. And how do you take advantage of the talent that you already have, as opposed to just how do we bring in new talent? And as part of that, what we see is that most executives are making and basing decisions on gut feel,
mm-hmm.
and that there's not an information, you know, underlay to the decision-making process. And so in the same way that there's a Six Sigma process to determine how you address process issues in a manufacturing environment or what have you, there's no such underlay of data to support the decision-making process. So that's really a common mistake that we see.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to my next question. Technology companies don't just need people, they need the right people. So how do companies find this talent, or more importantly, how do they go about developing it from within? Scott, do you want to start that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that again, we would start to take a more systematic approach to mm-hmm. this as opposed to a shotgun approach. I think what they need to start doing is really understanding the employee wants and needs better than they do. Most firms kind of take a top-down approach to interactions with the employees and don't really do a good job of getting employee input into the processes, whether that's compensation or work life or any of these other issues. Kind of treated in the way that companies treated their customers 20 to 30 years ago, which is, we think we know what you should want, and we're going to give it to you that way. We also think that a focus needs to happen on the A positions, or again, what are those roles in the company that are truly driving value to the organization. So if that's the sales force, for example, it's great to focus on your A players in the sales force, but if you have a bunch of C players who aren't bringing in quota, you're going to have a problem. And so, you know, how do we put a special focus on those right positions that are driving value to the organization?
Well, let's move on to our next question. The majority of technology executives say they're focusing on personnel development and training rather than hiring. So, in other words, they're developing resources rather than seeking out new hires. So what kinds of development strategies have you seen that are really effective? And are there metrics or benchmarks that a company can use? Scott, why don't you start with that?
Yeah, I think that the metrics and benchmarkings that we see being most effective around these types of issues are not the ones that look at the effectiveness of training. I think that people have been trying to develop the kind of ROI of training for a long time, and it's a too complex of an issue to have a simple metric. And so where we see people focus is really on more the overall employee productivity, the return on employee investment type metrics that you might find with a revenue per person, which would look at productivity. You might look at labor costs as a percent of revenue to really assess the return. Are we getting the return on our investment in labor? Or a human capital return on investment type metric. And we see that those are better indicators of the overall level of talent and are we making an impact than trying to get to the specific assessments of training.
Well, have you seen programs that you think are particularly effective at developing talent?
I think the interesting thing about these sort of more global view of talent and development programs is that from my experience, I've seen quite a few organizations where they've really had quite an impact on the collaboration front, because you're taking small groups of senior leaders out of their environment from lots of different countries, putting them together, and they form some quite strong team bonds that when they go back to their business units, they're actually able to more effectively cross-function across business units, which of course is what's needed going forward.
And I think to add to that, it really drives innovation as well. If you can sit down with people from a different culture who have a different background, you can really come up with things that you wouldn't have thought of based on your own culture and your own background. So I think it's a key driver of innovation as well. It's been my experience.
I'd agree with that.
The other program that we see being relevant here is the whole compensation design. Mm-hmm. And that we run into a lot of companies that are still very much in a peanut butter approach to their compensation, where, you know, they just take what they have and spread it evenly across the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And how do companies start looking at more truly differentiated compensation based on performance? And certainly there's been a lot of talk about pay per performance and a lot of work in that regard, but we still see that, you know, there's a long road to go to get that to where people want it to be. How do we start to get the employee opinion on what is going to incentivize them? I mean, if you think about the employee-employer relationship, the only time there's a true negotiation for what that person finds interesting and incentivizing is at the first acceptance of the job.
Mm-hmm.
And for years after that, it is the employer dictating what the pay and the package will look like. So there's really no feedback loop.
Well, earlier we touched on
going outside the UK or going outside the United States to find talent. How can a technology company develop a global program that is both cost-effective and attracts the right kind of talent? Graham, what are your thoughts on that?
I guess there are two pieces here, and I mean, I have to pick up on the two are moving talent around to be in the right place for you, and then sourcing new markets for talent. I mean, if we look at the first one about moving talent, I mean, used correctly, international assignments arm individuals throughout an organization, I mean, from executive down, with the skills that they need to drive a business forward. Companies need to start to recognize the high cost of international assignments and make sure there is a clear reason for them and that people have their careers managed for them whilst they're on international assignments so they still feel part of the organization and understand that they have a role as a talented individual to stay with that business when they return home.
Okay, gentlemen, one final question. If there was one thing that a tech company needed to do around the issue of talent management over the next 6 to 12 months, what would that one critical thing be? JP, why don't you get us started?
Okay, well, for me, it would be to recognize that accountability for talent management has to sit within the business, within the leaders, within the day-to-day running of the business, and that the human resource function can support this as much as it possibly can, but ultimately it comes down to the accountability of business leaders to make talent management effective.
Mm-hmm. Scott, what would that one thing be for you?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of lip service given to the fact that people are an asset or that the workforce is an asset, and yet if you look at the way other assets are managed and evaluated, whether that's the treasury function, whether that's business processes, whether that's customers, we think that the same level of intensive understanding and research and data needs to be created about the workforce so that we can optimize the investment in that asset.
Mm-hmm. And Graham, what are your thoughts?
I think it's recognizing that talent management is about the few and not about the many.
Mm.
You need to focus on those key people, the 5 or 10% throughout your organization who will drive that business forward and stay close to those people.
Well, Graham, Scott, JP, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today. And if you'd like more information on PricewaterhouseCoopers' recent survey, Successful Strategies for Talent Management, please visit us on the web at www.pwc.com/techconnect.